Chapter 16, how great he is. We are turning the corner from January and February where we talk about the things that God is leading us to do. We make decisions at the beginning of the year. How are we going to use our time? How are we going to use our abilities? How are we going to use our finances to glorify him? And now we're looking right ahead to Easter. So we think of Easter, the springtime, the change of the weather, the beautiful flowers. We celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. We begin to focus on what Jesus has done for us, not what we can do for him. And as we deal with that this week, I'm going to start a kind of a mini-series talking about what does it really mean to walk in the Spirit? How can we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our individual lives? And it's interesting, from John 13 through 21, it's dealing with the last days of Jesus. And so it's his final words to his church, to his disciples, his followers, to his children. And he's preparing us for the crucifixion that's to come, and then how we can live this life without him. He said he wasn't going to be here much longer. He had just told them, guys, I'm getting ready to leave here. And they're like saying, no, you can't leave. What do you mean you're leaving? So in John 16, verse 5, Jesus says this, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Could you imagine? They're having to say goodbye to their master, their Lord, who they've been following for 3 years. They spent every day with him, and now he's going to be leaving. And their hearts are filled with sorrow. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. The King James says it is expedient. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus said, hey, I'm leaving. They're sad. And he says, no, the reality, it's good that I'm leaving. And they're saying, how could it be good? We want you here. He said, no, because I'm leaving and I'm going to send you a comforter, an advocate, a helper that's going to be able to do even more than I could do if I physically stayed. That's a pretty incredible statement. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. God is my helper. Dear Father, we ask that your Spirit enlighten us, illuminate who you are, who your Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is, so we can live out this life. May we better understand what it really means that you are our help. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in church, seeing my family grow in their faith, and right when I got baptized, my dad got baptized, my sister got baptized, and so it was really the start of my dad's Christian life. My mom hadn't been saved that long, and they got involved, wanted to really live for God and do the right kind of things, and so that was sort of my heritage, and we were excited about what God was doing in our church, our community, and our family's life as well. And hearing those stories, as I talked about a few minutes ago, and learning what the Bible had to say and realizing that God loved me. Then I hit middle school, or they called it junior high, where I was growing up, and it was junior high years. I've always said, if you gave me $1 million, I wouldn't want to go back there. I didn't enjoy that at all. But the reality, when I hit high school, maybe I matured. Maybe just, you know, it's a difficult transition time. But when I hit high school, a lot of things were different. One Sunday, I was kind of preaching about that, and I kind of put it together. While I was talking to you, God was just speaking in my heart and said, remember what happened? right at the end of your middle school years, before you went into high school, you made sure of your salvation. And I was like, wow, I didn't really think about it. But the Holy Spirit was abiding in me and helping me just to live day to day in my high school years. I realized that He loved me. He was real. He was a real being in my life. But I remember around that time period, I was wanting to live for God, and I was just laying in my bed, and I'm picturing it. My brother painted the room this deep purple. We had these deep purple fuzzy comforters on the bed. We had lava lamps, and I don't know what the things, the little things that spun around that had the little laser lights, the little glass lights or whatever. I mean, we had a pretty cool room. We had some black lights. We had Farrah Fawcett up on the wall. You know, it was pretty good. I never told you that story, did I? So I don't know. Now I'm confessing to you all, but yeah, so that was my first love, Farrah Fawcett, winged hair and all that, you know. But I broke my heart when she married Tom Majors, or Tom, was that his name? But Lee Majors, Lee married. Yeah, I'm like, how could she do that to me? I was in love with Farrah. But anyway, I was laying there, and I wasn't looking at Farrah. I was praying. So okay, all right. But I was praying, and this was my prayer. Because I really wanted to live for God, but I struggled living for God. I mean, it was difficult. And I was laying in bed, and I said a prayer something like this: Dear Jesus, I really want to serve You. But I want You to know, it's difficult. I really want to serve You, but it's difficult. And I've always thought, I was born in a wrong generation, because kids my age were just silly, and I never liked being silly. I was the youngest growing up in my family, hung around older people, listened to the older generation music and stuff, and I always thought, yeah, I just wasn't born at the right time. I think God should have moved me back earlier. But this is what I said: God, if I had been born 2,000 years ago, if I could have seen Your miracles, heard with my ears Your teaching, if I could have just experienced what the disciples did, my Christian life would be so much easier. It's difficult living this life with You not physically here. I was basically just saying, hey, to walk by faith and not by sight, that's not an easy journey for us. And I don't know if you have ever been there, maybe you're there right now, but here's the reality. The Christian life is not just difficult. The reality is it is impossible. It is impossible to live the Christian life through our own strength and our own abilities. The only way we can ever live out what God wants us to, as this last verse says, that He will send the Helper. The Helper. I look at that simple word, the Helper, and I think, okay, what does a helper do? And since I'm a very deep thinker, this is what I figured out. He helps us, right? He's called the Helper because we need His help. And Jesus says, I'm going to tell you some great news. I'm leaving. That doesn't seem like very good news. I didn't feel it was very good news. Jesus, if I could just be with You, if I could hear Your teaching, if I could see what You were doing, if You were physically present with me, that would be great. And then as I grew up and learned more about the Bible, He says, it's not that great. I'm going to tell you something even greater. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He is going to help you. You can live victorious, not just through Jesus, but through the Spirit that He is sending to me. Charles Stanley said he grew up in a Pentecostal church. He's a very conservative Baptist, if you ever heard him on television. But he grew up in what they called the Holiness Pentecostal movement. And they saw the Holy Spirit as an it or a power, an influence, or something that you just wanted to get all over you, and maybe it would make you do kind of crazy things. I mean, that was kind of how he grew up. And this is what he said. I knew I needed to glorify the Father And I knew I needed to pray to the Son. But he said, I had no relationship with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, hey guys, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to the Father. So you're not going to see me anymore, but it's to your advantage that I leave, because I am going to send my helper to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He is going to be your teacher. He is the one that you can live with. He is the one that's going to be your guide. Again, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. The word helper means advocate. It's translated this way in the Bible, a comforter. It's the idea is he is our lawyer. He is one that comes along beside. Jesus is called, the same word here, the Greek word is, we say in English, by paraclete. And it just simply means one that comes along beside us. And he picks us up. Whenever you mess up, the advocate picks you up. He's helping you. He's guiding you. He comes along beside you and calls you. He encourages you. He lifts you up. The idea of this word, he is our defender. He is our encourager. It's even the word counselor. The counselor that combines encouragement while alleviating grief. That's all the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. He is our helper. I've had 4 children grow up in my home. Paula's had 5 children grow up in our home, she's told me at times. But anyway, I've had 4 kids. And one thing I've known about children is often they have an independent streak to them, don't they? I can recall some children helping them out of the car, you know, as they got a little bit older, they would unbuckle from their toddler seats and stuff, and they would come out, and I would want to help them out. Some kids, like, I can do it on my own. You know, I can do this. Maybe your kids have done that as well. You want to help them with something, and some of it's good. Most of it's probably stubbornness, right, that we have, and we can be independent. As they get older, sometimes they just become even more independent, right? And more stubborn, just kind of want to do it there. I'll learn on my own. Those kind of things that we can go through in life. We have this independent streak, and it's not just our kids. Too often it's in our life, because often we want to prove to God what we can do for him, when in reality he says, I'm the helper. You need to trust in me. You can't do this on your own. You need to lean on my strength. You need to lean on my wisdom. You need to look to me so I can empower you to do this. That's the idea of walking in the Spirit. We look to him because we need his help. And if we're going to live the victorious Christian life, we must rely on the assistance of the Holy Spirit. I have some verses on the screen if you want to follow me. I'll just give you a quick survey of the Holy Spirit through John in just a few minutes. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said this, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or outside, from his inside, his belly, will flow rivers of living water. You think of water, something that's refreshing, something that's moving, something that provides life. Jesus says, my spirit is like a living river that wants to flow out of you, refreshing, cleansing, joyful. Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus says in John 7, The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to be inside you. He's going to indwell you. It's not happening yet because I haven't gone to the cross. I haven't been resurrected. I haven't ascended to heaven. But when I ascend to heaven, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and He is going to live within you. Again, when He meets with His disciples together for the Last Supper, in John 13, He washes the disciples' feet. Then He begins teaching them in chapter 14. Again, He says, guys, I'm getting ready to go away. And they said, why are you going away? What's all this about? And He says in John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father. I'm going to ask the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you. How long? Forever. Jesus was only here for a short length of time. He is going to return one day, but Jesus isn't physically present with us. He is on the right hand of the Father physically right now, right? Now, we can say Jesus lives in our heart. The Bible even says Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And He says, I'm going to send another helper. The word another is very interesting. There's two words for another in the Greek language of the Bible. There's one word for another of a different kind. And there's another word for another of the same kind. And God said, here, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you a helper just like me. Just as Jesus is God and the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. He is part of the Trinity. I'm going to send another helper, but I first have to go up to heaven so I can send Him down. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be, what are the next two words? In you. That's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you ask Jesus to come into your life, the Holy Spirit invades your insides. He lives within your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit. He is abiding within you forever. He will be with you, and He's going to start working from the inside out. So then when we get to chapter 16 again in verse 5, but now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, this is where we started. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be here much longer, and that's good. And they said, it's not good. Hey, that's a difference in my thinking and God's thinking. Have you ever said, if I were God, I would? Often I've said that. God is very different from us, isn't He? And we say, it's not good that you're leaving us, Jesus. And He says, no, it actually is good. How can it be good? Here's how it's good. I am going to leave. In His physical ministry, He could only be in one place at one time, right? But Jesus ascended to heaven, and He said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will live within you forever. He's inside you to help you, to assist you in every area of your life. My pastor, his name is Steve Reynolds. I had a get together with him and some pastors the other day, and I remember him saying this. Early in my ministry, I would pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me when I preach sermons, to help me when I was doing counseling, to help me as I studied the Bible. And he said, and I realized that He's not just my helper in what we consider those spiritual areas, but He wants to help me in every area. He said, I started asking God, help me to eat right. Help me to exercise. Help me to know what to do. Help me when I go to the store, what I should buy and what I shouldn't buy. God, help me when I have a struggle at work, when I have a difficulty in my family, when I don't know what to do with my teenager. Help me in every area of life. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just for Sunday morning worship. It is for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every single day, no matter what you're going through. He's living within you as your helper. But often we want to prove to God what we can accomplish, what we can do, how godly we are. And he says, I am your helper. In John 15, verse 26, he said this, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. So he's called the Spirit here. He's the helper, is the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. Now, I want you to just say this. The Holy Spirit is not about focusing on himself. When you see a group of people overly focus on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing, they've gotten off track, because Jesus says, let me tell you why I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He is going to testify of me. He does not speak of himself, but as chapter 16, verse 14 says this, he will glorify me. The purpose of the Spirit is to focus on Jesus. So if we're not careful, we can overemphasize the Spirit, but the reality, probably most of us, as Charles Stanley said, I glorified God, I prayed to the Father, but what do I do with the Spirit? And Charles Stanley wrote a book, my favorite book on the Holy Spirit, it's called The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life. I see it in Pastor Steve's office when we're having a meeting. I have a copy of that. I've encouraged other people to read. The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life. It's probably not even in print today. It was written in the 90s. But here's what Charles Stanley said. I glorified the Father. I prayed to the Son. And he said, well, 2 out of 3 is not bad, I guess. And so Meatloaf wrote a song on that. Don't feel bad. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. But no, you're too young to know that. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, Farrah Fawcett and Meatloaf, I don't know. I told you I had a rough week, you know. But anyway, and he said, well, I focused on 2 of the 3 in the Trinity. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, the Father and Jesus. But he said, I began to realize the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He said, it's not like Star Wars, you know, well, the force is strong with this one. But he said, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person living inside of you that wants to have a relationship with you. And one of his key titles is that he is your helper. He can help you with the stress and anxiety that you're dealing with. He can help you when you're paying bills and you want to blame somebody else for that, right? He can help you when you're sitting on 95 and you're trying to deal with the traffic. He can help you when your boss isn't treating you very well. He can help you when life has thrown some things at you that you never expected. He, through the person of God, the name, the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our comforter, our helper, is here. He's living within us forever. And so today, as we begin talking about the Holy Spirit, let me just encourage you. When you pray, pray to the Heavenly Father. When you pray, we pray in Jesus' name. But don't forget that God dwells within you. And would you, as you leave here today, ask God to be your helper? And as you get up tomorrow morning to go to work or school or whatever it is you're going to be doing, would you ask the Holy Spirit to be your helper? Just acknowledge that He's there. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me today. And don't expect for some special thing to happen. Oh, well, do you have to speak in tongues? I don't think it has anything to do with the fullness of the Spirit. Do I have to flop down on the ground and look ridiculous? No, that's not what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It's just trusting that He's there, and you lean on Him and ask Him for your guidance. Jesus said, hey, it's good that I'm leaving. It's to your advantage. Because I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And you don't feel very loving right now? Hey, I'm the one that gives love. You're not very happy right now. I'm the one that gives joy. You're feeling anxious, depressed, or whatever. I'm the one that offers you peace today. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Dear Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be our helper. Help us to live the victorious Christian life. Too often we try to live it in our own strength. So we ask you to help us. Help us to read our Bibles. Help us to pray. Help us to live pure. Help us to think right. Help us in our relationships. Help us as we serve you. God, help us at school or on our job. God, we need your help. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. And God, we're sorry for those times when we don't acknowledge him, the third person of the Trinity. The one that you've given to us. And Lord, as we move toward this Easter season, as we celebrate what you've done for us, remind us of the work of the Spirit that you want to do in our life. And Christians, I just encourage you to pray right now. Just acknowledge God in your life, that he's living within you, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's living within you. And as I said earlier, the Christian life is not just difficult, it's impossible. But Jesus said, I can do all things through Christ. He said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. We actually just skipped over a whole chapter there, John 15, where Jesus said, I want you to abide in me. I want you to rest in me. If you're a child of God, just rest in him. Just lean into him. Ask your Father for guidance. Trust your Savior. And acknowledge that the Helper is there in your life. And friend, if you're not certain of salvation, the Holy Spirit was also given to convict us of our sins. To point out our failures so we would realize that a church, a baptism, our good works couldn't get us to heaven. And that's why Jesus died. And he offers to each one of us the free gift of salvation. If you've never trusted in Jesus, call on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust him today. Christian, you trust him. Just offer yourself to him. Acknowledge him. Surrender to the Holy Spirit today. And as we pray and in a moment as we sing, the two crosses on the side is the place that you can come to personally pray and just you deal with God. Cast your care on him today. Ask for his strength, or we have some people on the sides as well that can pray for you. So as we sing, acknowledge him. Father, Son, and Spirit, we look to you.